فليأمانك جاهد علي ولنقبل منه نافريدا فلشمه من بيتون وعلي تجي قبل مسونا فريدا أبني أمالك جايداني ولن قبل منونا فريدا أبني أمالك جايداني ولن قبل منونا فريدا
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من خرج في طلب العلم فهو في سبيل الله حتى يرجع أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى will grant people entry into Jannah on the day of Qiyamah to those people who have done good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will decide for people entry into Jannah because of their good deeds, because of their good a'mal. And for a person to do anything, good or bad, has to have the knowledge of that good or of that bad. For example, if a person does not have any knowledge regarding a fruit, apple, banana, orange, any fruit, so we go into a room and we find on a table oranges, apples, bananas, but we don't have this knowledge that this is apple, this is orange, this is banana, they are all fruits and they can be eaten. We don't have that knowledge. So we will not eat, because we don't know whether we can eat it or not. We don't know whether it's harmful, whether it's beneficial. So to eat is an amal. It is a practice, it is an action. An action cannot come into existence without knowledge. So you have a person who enters the room, he doesn't know banana, he doesn't know apple, he doesn't know orange, he doesn't know that these are fruits and they are beneficial and they are tasty. So he will enter the room, his gaze will fall on these fruits, but he will just pass by the fruits and take his place in a chair or in a sofa, and he will not touch the fruits. And you have a second person who knows what banana is. He has knowledge of banana, he has knowledge of orange, he has knowledge of apple. And when he enters the room and his gaze falls on banana, on apple, and these are his favorite fruits, he knows they are very tasty, he knows that they have vitamins, they are very beneficial. So he will enter the room and before taking his seat in a chair or in a sofa, he will grab these fruits. And he will enjoy the fruits and he will benefit from the fruits. So a person cannot benefit from anything good without knowing that it is good. Similarly, a person will not stay away from bad or harmful item without knowledge that it is harmful. For example, a very colorful snake. You come across a very colorful snake, it's very colorful, it's very beautiful. But because all of you have reached that age where you have the knowledge of a snake, you know what a snake is. So you are able to recognize the snake and you know that snake is very harmful. So despite all its beauty, as soon as your gaze falls, you will run away from the snake. And a 2-year-old child, 2.5-year-old child, who has never seen a snake, who doesn't know what a snake is, who doesn't know how harmful the snake could be, when that child sees a colorful, beautiful snake, what will the child do? It will go towards the snake and it will grab the snake. Because the child does not have knowledge about the snake or about its harms. So a person will always behave according to his knowledge. Knowledge comes first. Knowledge comes first. You are sitting in a masjid or in a madrasa, in a corner, relaxed, because it was hot and you were tired, you were exhausted, so your legs stretched out. And somebody enters the masjid. But you have no knowledge of this person. You don't know who this person is. So you will remain as you are. And thereafter another person enters the room and he says, you know who this person is? He is a very big sheikh. He is a sheikh al-hadith. He is a teacher of hadith. He is a teacher of tafsir. He is the greatest alim in the city. Immediately, you will change your postures. Immediately, you will change. Actions come into existence according to your knowledge, according to the recognition you have regarding the thing you are dealing with. You are in your classroom facing the other side and somebody enters the room at 4:30 and you know that the class begins at 5:00 and daily the teacher comes at 5:55 and it's only 4:30. So you assume that it is your friend. And assuming that it is one of your classmates, you start joking with him. In a very casual manner, you start talking to him about football, about cricket, about FA Cup, World Cup. Why? Because your assumption, that means your knowledge at that precise moment is that who is behind you? My friend. And as soon as you turn around and you see that it is your teacher, now knowledge has changed. So because knowledge has changed, your behavior will change. Shyness, embarrassment will overtake you. It will make you feel embarrassed. So amal will take us either to Jannah or Jahannam. Good amal will take us to Jannah and bad amal will take us to Jahannam. And my dear children, my very dear students, both boys and girls of our Madrasa Baitul Ilm, it is our belief, it is the belief of every Muslim, that a day is going to come when we will depart from this world, when we will die. Some people die before even reaching the age of 10. I make dua from the bottom of my heart that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of you and myself also long life. Always say to Allah that, oh Allah, give me a long life. Before I come and visit you, I want to become an old man. Oh Allah, give me a long life. But not only long life. When you pray to Allah, always say to him that, oh Allah, grant me a long life with safety and good deeds. So safety means, oh Allah, give me a long life but without any serious illness, without any serious mishap in my life, without any big accident in my life, without any poverty. So give me a long life with safety. So with safety means this world will become enjoyable and comfortable. And with good deeds means that the akhirah, the hereafter, will become secured. So we will enjoy this world also and the hereafter also. Long life with good amal, with good deeds, is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was once asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyun nasi khayrun, from amongst the people, who is the best? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man tala umuruhu wa hasuna amaluhu, that person is the best whose life is long and whose amal and deeds are best, good. So long life with good deeds. Long life, good deeds. Good deeds is the currency of the hereafter. The currency of our country is sterling, pounds. The currency of USA is dollars. And the currency of Pakistan and India is rupees. So the currency of the hereafter is good deeds. So when we perform salat, currency is gone in the bank of the hereafter. When we say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, currency is accumulating in the hereafter. So long life with good amal means a big bank balance in the hereafter. And short life with good amal is still good because life is short, but less currency in the bank of the hereafter. But long life and bad amal, very dangerous.
Because long life and evil deeds will take a person in the fire of Jahannam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all long life with safety and good amal. And if your life is with good amal, then as you live, you die. If your life is with good amal, then you will die with good amal. And that good amal is, before departing, you will say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And you will go straight in Jannah. The qabr, the grave will also become a garden from the gardens of Jannah for you. Allah will turn that into a garden. But some people pass away before reaching 10. So anybody can depart, you, I, nobody knows. It's not necessary that the grandfather will pass away first and then the father and then the son. Sometimes the grandson goes before the grandfather. Sometimes the son goes before the father. So it is our belief that a day is going to come when we will depart from this world and we will go into the hereafter. And once we go into the hereafter, we will remain there forever and ever. Ever and ever. Ever and ever. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a very great scholar. The well-known scholar at this moment, Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib Hafidahullah Ta'ala. Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib's father was Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib. He was the head Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband and he was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan during his days. A very pious personality. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that if you were given two choices, I will make it as simple as possible. If you were given two choices, which choice would you take? And then he mentions the two choices. He says that on one side is a very large mansion, very large mansion, very comfortable mansion, and very expensive mansion. 1 million, 1.5 million, 2 million pounds. And on the other side is a terraced house. So on one side is a very big bungalow, very big mansion in Oudby, Leicester, we are talking about Leicester. In Oudby, the houses are very expensive. 1 million, 2 million, 3 million pounds. On one side is you have that house. And on the other side, you have a terraced house in this area, Haddon Street, Burnley Street, Muir Road, Melbourne Road, a terraced house, 200,000 pounds. So you have a 3 million pound house and a 200,000 pound house. And you are given a choice between the two, that which one would you like, the 3 million pound one or 200,000 pound one? But you are told that if you take the house which is worth 3 million pounds, you can stay there with your family for 5 years only. And after 5 years you have to give it away. So you will be on the road after 5 years, you will have nothing. But if you choose this 200,000 pound one, then you take it, you move in with your family and you stay in there until you breathe your last, and when you die, it becomes your children's, and when they die, it becomes theirs, and until the day of Qiyamah it is yours. So one house is very large and very comfortable, but only for 5 years. After 5 years, you will be wandering around on the roads. And in Pakistan, in India, in Africa, you don't have social service system like we have here, that those people who are homeless, they are given a home by the council. No, you will be on the road. And even in this country, if somebody was given a choice between two homes, that 3 million pound home for 5 years only, and 200,000 pound home forever, which one would you choose? The permanent one or the temporary one? The permanent one. Because you will enjoy here for 5 years only, and after 5 years of enjoyment everything is gone. You will be on the road. And here it's a 200,000 pound house, but alhamdulillah, we'll be able to live in there forever and ever. After that, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that whatever comforts you are given in this world, the comforts of this world are temporary. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. Nowadays, if we hear that somebody passed away at the age of 90, because people don't live till 90. 90, 95, 100, over 100, rare cases. People, by 70, 75, people go away. So, very comfortable life here. But in the hereafter, Allah says, there is no house in Jannat for you. And on the other hand, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the choice, that live a simple life in this world, for 70 years, but in the hereafter, forever and ever, I will give you big mansion in Jannah. Which should be our choice? This world or the hereafter? Hereafter. Every person will choose permanent over temporary. Temporary is useless. Temporary is useless. If somebody gives you Mercedes Benz and he says that use it for 1 month and give it back to me. But if you take this Toyota, you can keep it forever. Which one will you take, Mercedes or Toyota? Everybody will go for Toyota. Because it's for permanent. This is only 1 week or 1 month. So this worldly life is temporary. The life hereafter is permanent. And in that permanent life, we will only become successful if we go from this world with good amal. So bad amal we shun. We shun bad amal. No, I can't lie because lying is not good, not good, evil, bad amal, bad deed. Lying, I can't lie. Cheating, no, I can't cheat. And majority of the young people who go to madrasa and school, they tease people also. Tease. They tease people, and when they tease people, they hurt people. If I tease you and if I make fun of you and everybody is laughing, you don't enjoy that, you are hurt. So before teasing anybody, think to yourself that what if everybody started teasing me, how would I feel? Just as I have a heart, my Muslim brother, my friend, my classmate, my schoolmate, my madrasa, he also has a heart. One is to play with each other means that you are two cousins playing together and you tease him and he teases you and both of you enjoy. That is okay because you are making him happy by teasing him. But when you tease somebody and he feels hurt, this is a major sin. It is like consuming alcohol. It is like consuming drugs. It is like swearing at somebody, teasing somebody and hurting somebody is a very big sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the glorious Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa'in yakunu khayran minhum, wa la nisa'un min nisa'in asa'in yakunna khayran minhunna. One individual or one group should not tease another individual or another group. If I am dark in complexion, have I become dark or Allah has made me dark? Now look at this building. If somebody says that this building is very beautiful, so is he praising the building or is he giving credit to the person who made this building? He is giving credit to the person who made this building. And if a person says that, oh, what an awful building. What an awful building. No ventilation, no light. The doors are not placed in the right places. Is he criticizing the building or the maker of the building? Maker of the building. So if you look at somebody's dark complexion or any other part of his body and if you make fun of him, who are we making fun of? Him or the maker of him? And who is the maker and the creator of this person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very grave sin. Very grave sin. Swearing at somebody, teasing somebody, disobeying parents, disrespecting elders, stealing, oppressing somebody, hurting somebody, lying, neglecting salah, drugs, alcohol, all these things are bad. These are currencies that will take us to Jahannam. And always speaking the truth, being obedient to parents, serving them, making them happy, performing salat, reciting Quran, safeguarding the gazes, safeguarding the ears from hearing wrong, safeguarding the gazes from seeing wrong, safeguarding the tongue from speaking wrong. These are currencies which will take us to Jannah. So in the hereafter, we will go in Jannah as a result of amal, as a result of our good deeds. And we will go in Jahannam as a result of our good deeds or bad deeds? Bad deeds. So if we spend our lives doing bad, we will go in Jahannam. If we spend our lives doing good, we will go in Jannah. So amal takes us to Jannah. But how will we know what is bad and what is good? How will we know? We will know what is bad and we will know what is good through ilm. Ilm, knowledge, education. When we come into the madrasa, on the first day we don't know anything. Only little bit that our Abba and Ammi, our mom and dad has taught us at home. Little bit only. As we progress slowly, slowly, we are admitted into the madrasa at the age of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. As we grow older, older, every day we are coming to the class and learning, learning, learning. After 5 years of madrasa, we have a long list of do's and a long list of don'ts. We know that all these things are good and if I do them, I will go in Jannah. All these things are bad and if I do them, I will go in Jahannam. Now you understand the importance of madrasa. Without madrasa, we would not have known what is good and what is bad. And if we don't know what is good, what is bad, how can we do good and stay away from bad? It is through ilm that we acquire in the madrasa. So we need to be very, very punctual as far as madrasa is concerned. Parents also. You will do a very great service to your children by making sure that they are punctual in their madrasa. Parents cannot give their children any gift which is more better than ilm and adab. Ilm and adab. Ilm means you teach them or you make arrangements for them where they are taught what they are supposed to do and what they are supposed to stay away from. And adab means you nurture them or you hand them over to somebody who will nurture them to carry out the do's and stay away from the don'ts. Ilm and adab. Talim and tarbiyat. Ilm means talim and adab means tarbiyat. Parents cannot give any gift which is more precious than talim and tarbiyat. Why? Because talim and tarbiyat will grant them the success of the everlasting life. And anything besides talim and tarbiyat will give them the success of this temporary life. If you give them good talim, if you give them good tarbiyat, not only will your children go in the everlasting bliss of Jannah, they will also take you because they will say to Allah that, oh Allah, I am going in Jannah as a result of the efforts of my parents. So please make sure that your children attend madrasa regularly. And you children also, because the day you stay absent, you are going to miss a lesson. And when you miss a lesson, you will not know what you are supposed to do and what you are supposed to stay away from. Give importance to madrasa. Learn as much as you can. Learn the seerah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Learn what is good, learn what is bad. And stay away from bad and carry out good. And I will urge all the parents to take out some time daily, if not daily then weekly, and try to find out what your children are doing in the madrasa. as a result, during this process of finding out what the children are doing, you will refresh what you had learned during your maktab time and what you are not practicing also. And as a family, the children and the parents and the siblings all together, what we need to try to do is, we need to learn as much as possible, teach each other much as possible, and also try to practice with each other as much as possible. The children should go home and they should tell the parents that today my ustad, my teacher has taught me that when you go into the toilet, you should put your left leg first when you go into the lavatory. And my ustad said that when you leave the lavatory, you put your right foot first when you leave the lavatory. And my ustad said that this is how our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to enter the lavatory and come out of the lavatory. So mummy, from today I am going to do this. Please you do this also. And Abba, please you do this also. So all of us can do good amal and be in Jannah together. Because ummi, if I practice and you don't practice, I will be on the 10th floor and you will be on the 7th floor. We will be in different jannats in Jannah. So let us practice together. The parents should encourage the children should encourage the parents, and as a family, we need to learn, practice and pass on. Remember this code word, LPP. This should be the aim of our lives from today, all my dear children. Learn. Practice. What you learn, you practice. And pass on to your siblings, pass on to your friends, pass on to your family. Daily make a point that I will come to the madrasa, and whatever I am taught in 2 hours, I will at least convey one thing to my parents daily, one thing to my siblings daily, every day. At the moment, my dear children and my dear brothers, at the moment what is happening is, Aaron is on one side and Aman is on one side. We are sending the children for Aaron only. We are not realizing that I am sending my children to the madrasa so that my children can acquire ilm and also bring that ilm into amal, transform that ilm into amal. We need to put this in our minds that my children are going to the madrasa so that not only ilm comes in their lives, amal also comes in their lives. And if amal is not coming in their lives, then we need to worry about it. We need to create an atmosphere in the home where the children can freely practice the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you were to do this, my friends, very soon you will find that your house is filled with barakah. All your problems are one by one going away. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give comfort and does not give peace of mind and tranquility of heart to those people who are practicing His deen in the hereafter only. No. Allah has made a promise that I will grant them peace in this world and also in the hereafter. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. This world also, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And the hereafter also. A person, if Allah wishes, even during this heat, can go to sleep comfortably. He doesn't have a fan and he doesn't have an air conditioner, AC. But you ask him in the morning, how did you sleep last night? He says, oh, I didn't know where I was. I put my pillow on the head and I dozed off to sleep after reciting the dua. And the next thing I knew is that the alarm is going on for Fajr Salat. No air condition, no fan, no ventilation, nothing, but he's enjoying his sleep. And the other person, very rich, very wealthy, in a mansion, he has fans, he has air condition, and in the morning you ask him, how did you sleep last night? Oh, very bad night. Restless. I couldn't sleep. Comfort does not come from this fan. Comfort does not come from ventilation. Comfort does not come from the carpet or good bed or good furniture. comfort is given directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person, a poor person who follows the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be eating chapati and dal, simple food, chapati and dal. And a rich person who is not following the command of Allah may be eating biryani and samosa and kebab, barbecue. But it's possible that this person who is eating dal is enjoying his dal more than that person enjoying his barbecue. The very first time I went to India, I was walking on the streets of Bombay. Before returning to UK, I spent a day or two in Bombay. So I was walking on the streets of Bombay. It was January, February. So relatively cool as far as India is concerned. But for us it was hot weather. It was in the afternoon, lunch time, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, Zohar time. And it was a main road, very main road. So much traffic. And all the time hooting continually in main streets. So much hooting. And dozens of people walking up and down the street, up and down the main road, up and down the street. I and you, even if you were given a very comfortable home on that road, and if you were given a very comfortable room, air condition, everything, we would not be able to sleep in the house because of the noise outside, hustle and bustle. And on my left hand side, there was construction work going. So noise of construction work also. And for safety of people, there was a fence. Right next to the fence on the footpath, where dozens of people were walking from here to there, no place to maneuver. It was like tawaf during Hajj. All the hustle bustle of the people, hooting, construction work, and next to the fence, there was a person at 12 o'clock noon. He was covered from head to toe with a sheet and he was sleeping there in the afternoon. He was sleeping. Where did this comfort come? No bed, nothing. Who gave him this sleep? Allah gave him this sleep because Allah wanted to. And I have come across so many people who have come to me who are rich people, wealthy people, who drive 50,000 pound cars, who live in 3 million pound bungalows. I'm talking about Leicester also. Various people have come to me crying and sobbing and saying that I have restless nights. Please make dua for me. Please make dua for me. Please find a solution for me that I can at least have one night with good sleep. So I say to them, what is the problem? Your daughter is a problem. Your son is a problem. Your wife is a problem. Your factory is a problem. He said, no, there is no apparent problem. I don't know why I can't sleep. This is because disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is where I will end. We need to learn, be very, very regular. Very, very regular. And after you leave madrasa at the age of 13, at the age of 14, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of you, or many of you, or majority of you, the tawfiq to become ulama also. Ulama, so that you are able to explain to people the reality of this life and the reality of the hereafter, and you are able to guide them towards Jannah and save them from the fire of Jahannam. Imagine the satisfaction that such a person will find when he is talking to people, when he is connecting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine how Allah must be happy, how much Allah must be happy. So may Allah make you ulama also. But if you decide to leave Maktab at the age of 13, 14, 15, and if you decide to go to college, university, become a doctor, become an architect, whatever you desire to become, become a doctor, but a good Muslim doctor. Become an architect, but a good Muslim architect. And a Muslim teacher, a Muslim professor, a Muslim pilot, a Muslim factory owner, a Muslim shop owner, who will continually learn, practice and pass on with his worldly occupation also. So learning is not only during the madrasa time. No, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, somebody said to him that you are the Imam of the Muslimin. Wa anta Imamul Muslimin. You are the Imam of the Muslims now. You are the greatest person on the surface of this earth. Despite that, you are still learning. He said, yes, I will continue to learn until I go to my grave. So we remain students until we breathe our last. After you leave your maktab, you become ulama. If you don't become ulama, then you continue coming in the majalis of the ulama. You continue reading authentic, reliable books written by reliable, authentic ulama. Continue learning, continue practicing, and continue passing on. Learn, practice, and pass on. Learn, practice, and pass on. And my brothers also. We remain students. All the great personalities that you hear about, Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya, Hazrat Ji Maulana Ilyas, Shah Waliullah Hasan Muhaddis Dehlavi, and then we go during the era of the Tabi'in and the Sahaba. All these great personalities, whenever they became Shaykhul Hadith or Shaykhul Tafsir, they never said that I am teaching. They said, I am still a talibul ilm. During the process of teaching, I learn. During the process of teaching, I learn. And they would always, all the great ulama that you come across, their culture is that whenever they raise their hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, Oh Allah, you have been very kind to me that you have kept me a talibul ilm, a seeker of knowledge, a student. Keep me talibul ilm until I breathe my last. So I urge all of you, each and every person sitting here, individual, alim, non-alim, old, young, alike, become a student and remain a student until we breathe our last. Sit in the company of the ulama, read good literature, learn whatever you learn, practice, and whatever you practice, you pass on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant more progress to our madrasa baytul ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it expansion, and may we in our lives see a very beautiful and grand mosque here with a very beautiful madrasa and with so many activities taking place here, as a result of which this ilm of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this ilm sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the medium of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be safeguarded, and it can be forwarded to all four corners of the world. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم إنا نسألك الرضاء بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت
ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن أوليائك المقربين الصديقين ومن العلماء الربانيين ومن خدام دينك وعشاقك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم آنس وحشتنا في قبورنا، اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب غمومنا وهمومنا وسائقنا وقائدنا إلى جنات النعيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما، یسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما، عفو عافیت کا معاملہ فرما، فضل و عنایت کا معاملہ فرما، ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری لغزشوں سے در گزر فرما، ہمیں صراط مستقیم پر چلنے کی، جمنے کی، دوسروں کو چلانے کی، جمانے کی توفیق عطا فرما، مرنے سے پہلے پہلے مرنے کی تیاری کی توفیق عطا فرما، آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما، الہ العالمین جنت الفردوس میں بغیر حساب کے داخلہ نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہم سے راضی ہو جا، اے اللہ ہم سے راضی ہو جا، اے اللہ ہم سے راضی ہو جا، اے ارحم الراحمین ہم سب سے راضی ہو جا، ہم سب سے راضی ہو جا، اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین. رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما، رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما، رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمیں سعادت عطا فرما، شقاوت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، الہ العالمین ہمارے ایمانوں کی حفاظت فرما، کفر سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمیں توحید سے مالا مال فرما، شرک سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، الہ العالمین اتباع سنت کی توفیق سے مالا مال فرما، بدعتوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین تیرا قرب خاص نصیب فرما، الہ العالمین تیری دوری سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمیں اپنی معرفت عطا فرما، اور الہ العالمین ہمارے قلوب کو ذاکر فرما دے. الہ العالمین غفلت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمیں صحتوں سے مالا مال فرما، بیماریوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، بیماریوں سے نجات عطا فرما. الہ العالمین عزتوں کی حفاظت فرما، ذلتوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین فقر سے حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین رزق میں وسعت والی، برکت والی، حلال روزی نصیب فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین عمر میں برکت عطا فرما. الہ العالمین عمر میں برکت عطا فرما، اعمال صالحہ میں برکت عطا فرما، برے اعمال سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین حسن خاتمہ کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما، سوئے خاتمے سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین جنت الفردوس میں داخلہ نصیب فرما، جہنم سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین اس مدرسے میں، یہاں کے طلبہ میں، یہاں کے اساتذہ میں خوب خیر و برکت پیدا فرما، یہاں آنے والوں میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما. الہ العالمین اس مدرسے کو تا قیام قیامت بزرگان دین اور اسلاف امت کے طریق پر الہ العالمین ثابت قدم فرما. الہ العالمین یہاں حفاظت دین کا کام فرما. الہ العالمین اشاعت دین کا کام اس ادارے سے لے لے. اے ارحم الراحمین یہاں کے محتمیم صاحب، یہاں کے اساتذہ میں علوم فیوز اور ان کے خلوص میں برکت پیدا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ان کے اتفاق اتحاد میں برکت پیدا فرما، ان کے ولولے میں، ان کی لگن میں، الہ العالمین محنت میں، ذوق و شوق میں اور برکت پیدا فرما. الہ العالمین ہم سب کو سستی اور غفلت سے محفوظ فرما. الہ العالمین طلبہ کے حقوق کی ادائیگی کی ہمیں توفیق عطا فرما، فکر آخرت ہم سب کو نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین اس ادارے کو رشد و ہدایت کا مرکز بنا، علم و عرفان کا چشمہ بنا، تیری محبت کے جام کے لٹانے کا مرکز بنا، پورے عالم میں ہدایت کے عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا. یہاں جو طلبہ آ چکے ہیں الہ العالمین ان کو برکت برکتیں عطا فرما. جو اس وقت پڑھ رہے ہیں انہیں علماء ربانیین میں شامل فرما. پورے عالم میں الہ العالمین علم و عمل کو عام کرنے والوں میں شامل فرما. یہ حرم الرحیمین یہاں کے مصلیوں میں برکت پیدا فرما. اس مسجد کو خوب آباد فرما. ہر قسم کے شر فتنے سے اس کی حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین اس کی ظاہری باطنی جتنی ضروریات ہیں سب کا غیب سے انتظام فرما. یہ ارحم الراحمین بدناظرین کی نظر سے، شریروں کے شر سے، مفسدین کے فساد سے، حاسدین کے حسد سے محفوظ فرما. اس طالب علم نے ایک مجلس میں قرآن ختم کیا، اسی طرح یہاں کے جتنے بھی حفاظ ہیں الہ العالمین سب کو انتہا قبول فرما. ہم سب کو مرتے دم تک قرآن کی حفاظت کی توفیق عطا فرما. ہمیں جو یاد ہے الہ العالمین اسے یاد رکھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. جو بھول چکے ہیں یاد کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین، اے ارحم الراحمین، اے ارحم الراحمین ہم سب کو قبول فرما، اس جلسے کو قبول فرما، ہمارے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما، ماں باپ کی مغفرت فرما، اہل و عیال کی مغفرت فرما، ہمارے متعلقین محبین محسنین کی مغفرت فرما، پوری امت کی مغفرت فرما. اس سال تیرے دربار میں جو حج کے لیے آ رہے ہیں، آ چکے ہیں، آئیں گے، الہ العالمین سب کو حج مبرور عطا فرما. ہمیں بھی وہاں کی حاضری بار بار نصیب فرما. ہم سب کو الہ العالمین وہیں کی موت نصیب فرما. مسلمانان عالم کے حال پہ رحم فرما. الہ العالمین ممالک اسلامیہ کی حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین پورے عالم کو امن کا گہوارہ بنا دے. سلامتی کو عام فرما، رحمتوں کو عام فرما، برکتوں کو عام فرما. الہ العالمین اس شہر لسٹر میں جتنے ادارے ہیں، جتنی مساجد ہیں، جتنی مسلم سکولز ہیں، دین کے جتنے کام ہو رہے ہیں سب کی حفاظت فرما، سب کی حفاظت فرما، سب کی حفاظت فرما. جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے، لکھا ہے، جو ہم سے متوقع ہیں، جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے، جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں، محبت رکھتے ہیں، بالخصوص ہمارے ماں باپ، ہمارے اساتذہ، ہمارے مشائخ، دوست احباب، حاضرین مجلس، شرکائی مجلس، محبین محسنین، سبھی کے تمام جائز نیک مقاصد کو پورا فرما. آپ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مانگی ہوئی ہر خیر عطا فرما. جن شرور سے پناہ مانگی تھی ان شرور سے پناہ عطا فرما. جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما، جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے وہ بھی عطا فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم، رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. امين.